Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another Gimmick Award from Scanline Media. 2019 is in the rearview mirror. It's behind us. If you hit R3 and do the look behind your shoulder thing, you'll see that year, which we have now passed. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And we're here to honor the media of 2019 that really moved us. There will be no book-based category because we're only going to have one nominee and it's going to be Three Kingdoms, and so it wins. But we are going to have anime categories. For example, is it anime of the year?
Yeah. This is a bit broader than just anime from 2019. We were taking a look at the list as it was and decided that while 2019 had some pretty great shows, we didn't see a lot of them, and the ones that we saw, at least some of them, were pretty meh. So,
yeah. 2019 was a good year in anime for us, but partially because of us watching older things for the first time. And as always, these lists are going to be subjective, so we're like, hey, we'll have shows and anime movies from 2019, and also if there was an anime that both of us saw for the first time in 2019, even if it's older than that, that's valid as well.
Yeah, and I guess we'll figure out whether one of them was something that we both saw in 2019, because I'm kind of unclear about that. But other than that, it's pretty representative of how our 2019 went.
Yeah, you put Thunderball Fantasy on here. We both watched that in 2018.
Oh.
You're just misremembering.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and cut that.
Yeah, I was looking through the release dates for the podcast stuff and saw Thunderbolt Fantasy on January 3rd, so it was like, maybe? But we've talked at length about Thunderbolt Fantasy in the past, so...
Oh, was it really January 3rd? Well, still, I think we've said our piece about Thunderbolt Fantasy. I don't think it doesn't feel like a 2019 show.
Yeah, it's a great show, and I'm excited for the... I still need to watch the second season, but I'm excited that they keep making it, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good show. So, Jen, could you read our nominees?
Sure thing. So, we have Dr. Stone, Promare, Given, Fruits Basket, Demon Slayer, Boogie Pop and Others, Kaguya-sama, Love is War, One Punch Man Season 2, Kamen Rider Build, Chihara Fuyu. I probably butchered that, but that's okay.
Yep.
Bodacious Space Pirates, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, Ping Pong the Animation, and Dragon Ball Super Broly.
So, I will note that the way these lists, pretty much all of these lists were made, is that we open them up to our close friends because we, you know, we're like, hey, you know, we'll have some people guest on some of these shows based on timing, and sometimes the timing won't work out, and it'll just be me and Jen, and that's fine. Because of that, that means there are occasionally nominees that are not ones that we added or would have added. We did not mention Zoku Owari Monogatari, which was added by our friend Nick. Neither of us have seen that. You know, I won't make any judgments. I'll just say neither of us have seen that, so it didn't make the final list. Anyone who's listened to a lot of Oops All Anime knows how I feel about Nick's taste. Demon Slayer, on the other hand, we did watch.
We did, and it's not a very good show, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where, like, you see people who are putting it on their, like, best of 2019 lists, and you're like, oh, buddy, it's okay. You'll see a good anime someday. Don't worry. Hang in there. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I saw people putting it on best of decade lists, and it's like... other people have mentioned this before. The anime fan community has a recency bias problem. I'd say we all have a recency bias problem for the most part. Sure. It's easy to see something new and be like, oh, wow, this is the best thing ever. But specifically with shonen anime, people are easily swayed to whatever the biggest, the next big thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And people went wild for Demon Slayer last year, so that made its way into a ton of various voting blocks.
I don't think there are any lists we could make where it would do very well, except for perhaps the show we were the most bored by, where, yeah, it might do okay in that category. But that's not a category, because we're not that mean, or at least we're not that officially mean. We're definitely that mean, we just don't make it official.
Yeah, it's at the back of our minds. And on the tip of our tongues, I guess.
I think we should also cut Boogie Pop and Others, because there was something to it, but I think neither of us were compelled enough to go back to it, right? We're both curious, but...
Well, if we're going to get into that now, I'll say that this list is kind of embarrassing me because I haven't gone back to a lot of these shows.
Sure, but like, okay, I have gone back to a lot of them, so I guess I can, you know, some of them I definitely haven't, but a lot of these are shows where I have seen, yeah, more than we did for the episode. Boogie Pop is not one of those.
Yeah. It's something I'd like to go back to at some point, just because I'm a sucker for that specific sort of teen horror slash occult weirdness. But it's definitely something that it's definitely something that also got under my skin in a few ways. Like, it seems to use as a recurring plot point, basically being like, oh, these students are my slaves now, and it's like, this is,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, actually, on our episode, I feel like we were pretty generous. We were like, based on things we've heard, this probably gets cool, but as is, it's intriguing, but not good.
I'd say it's good. I just think that there's other shows here that I prefer quite a bit.
Okay.
If nothing else, that intro is fucking awesome.
It's a good intro. All right, I've been leading the charge here, as is my way. I'm always eager to make people feel bad about the things they like, but what do you want to shit on?
Well, I wouldn't call it shitting on.
No, okay. You're allowed to be scared of having an opinion. That's valid.
Well, it's just that I didn't watch a single episode of One Punch Man Season 2, so... I have no opinion either way. I could talk about how I felt about season one, which was, it didn't really stick for me at all. Like, I thought the characters were kind of cool. I especially liked Gino, and his awesome android body and stuff. it's one of those sorts of things where it mostly felt like a joke anime, and I didn't feel myself getting invested in it at all.
Hmm. Okay, that's fair. I liked season two, but I mean, this is our list, and like, it's not, I don't think it's in my top three. It's probably maybe in my top five, but like, if it's not in my top three and it's not anywhere on your radar, then it probably needs to go.
Yeah. I feel like Golden Wind was on last year's list.
We didn't watch it last year, so that wouldn't make sense. Oh, wait, no, you had watched it. That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot you had watched it already. Okay, cut it, then. Oh. Because it is an old show that, in this instance, I thought neither of us had watched it before, which was our rule, but you had. I forgot.
Did it stick with you? Like, how...
I finished it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I ended up dropping off around the time when they were having that whole arc with, what's his name? The plain guy.
The Notorious B.I.G. guy? I mean, that's the name of his stand. I'm not, like...
Yeah. Naranja. Not Naranja. however you say his name.
Naranja?
Yeah, Naranja. I dropped it. Oh,
okay. So I was talking about a thing that happens in like 30 episodes from where you are. Got it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's something I definitely want to go back and watch at some point, but also I went through a period where I was super interested in JoJo's and then I kind of lost steam on it. So
I mean, the secret reveal, at least with Golden Wind, you know, it could be that other seasons of JoJo's are different than this. But the secret reveal for me was that after all the hype, it's a shonen anime where the powers are kind of weird.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, people really talked about it like it was something way more grand and like artistic and incredible than this. And it's like, I mean, you know, they make weird poses and sometimes their powers are kind of strange, but it's just a battle anime.
Yeah. At least this season wasn't the season where they befriend a Nazi, so...
Sure, sure. That's true.
It has that going for it.
Which is nice. I think we both probably want to see more of Chihaya Furu, but it's not going to be top three, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the stuff around here, and that show is really beautiful and nice to me, but there's another beautiful and nice sports anime on here that matters a whole lot more to me, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely one I'm going to continue watching when I can sit myself down and watch it, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stand up to this other one in a direct fight.
I'm also, now that I'm looking at this list, I'm not sure why I put Bodacious Space Pirates in here. I don't have a beef. Like, it was fun enough, but it didn't stick.
I didn't feel that strongly about it either, so I found it surprising when it was on here.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a point where I was just scrolling through shows that we watched and picking things that I felt generally positively about. I would have put Hanabato on here over that, actually, but still wouldn't have made it, so. Okay, so we're down to seven.
So...
Eight.
Yeah, damn. Eight. So, are we going to stick with the rule that it's anime here, or are we going to...
Yeah, no, it has to be anime. You know, like Kamen Rider.
I guess since a lot of that show is CG, you could make an argument in that regard.
Okay, Jen, here's the argument. We covered it for our show. Was it an Upsil anime or was it an Isden anime?
It was a Upsil anime, if I recall.
Well, there you go. The argument was had a long time ago, or maybe wasn't had because you just went along with my decision, but now you're dealing with the consequences.
Your Keikaku is finally coming to fruition.
Listen, I play the long game around here. You better believe. Also, there's plenty of CG animation in it, so.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier.
Let's see here. Okay. We have two nice romance... Well, three... Okay, we have three nice romance anime of various types on here. Of them, I think Fruits Basket is the weakest.
I'd say so, yeah. It's a very pleasant show, and I was enjoying what was going on. And it's the way that the boys turn into cute animals is pretty fun. But overall, it didn't... grip me the same way the other two did.
It also just has the problem that I think is fairly, like, you get vibes from some shows, and I know this vibe to be correct, because of the manga it's based on, where it's just like, oh, this show is meant to exist in perpetuity. You're not really trying to resolve anything here. You're setting up a premise, and then it's just going to be, you know, like, minor character development forever. And Fruits Basket is absolutely that show.
That's a good point. And it definitely seems like a hangout sort of show, even if certain things change as characters get introduced or potentially get removed later, like either moving away or something else. It's definitely something that's mostly there for a slice of life romantic comedy situation.
Yeah.
Where sometimes characters randomly are like, oh, hey, let me take a look at your pubes, apparently. But that,
I mean, you know, that's just how life is.
That's how you do.
Okay. I'm trying to see what I could pick here that you won't put up a fight about that I also want to go. Because the other thing is, like, I could probably pick Kamen Rider Build. I don't fucking want to. Fuck you. Dragon Ball Super Broly?
Interesting that you go with that one first. I would not expect you to choose that one first.
Well, if you remember, I was pretty dismissive of it on our episode.
True, but you were also more dismissive of another anime movie that is also on this list.
Yeah, but you're going to put up more resistance about the other anime movie.
True. I did like Super Broly quite a bit, but also it's one of those situations where it's like, man, I wish Toriyama would give this cool new female character anything to do aside from being the point of empathy for this strong muscle character. And
also most of the movie is just a fight, which is fine, but also there are parts where it doesn't, like, there's a part where they break reality to, like, it's a snowy field and they fight a bunch and turn it into like a volcanic, like, wasteland, and then they break reality to bring the snow back just because they think that'd be cool for the sake of the fight. There's no, like, it just, it works on rule of cool to a degree that feels a little ridiculous.
I could buy that for sure. The part where do the fusion is pretty cool, though.
I do also like the part where Frieza, smirking, like, kills Broly's dad and then goes, oh no, Broly, your dad's dead! That is one of the jokes of the year.
If Dragon Ball knows anything, it's how to deploy its villains that got defeated before in a very entertaining way.
Frieza explaining that he's going to use the Dragon Balls to wish for an extra inch of height, because if he did more than that, it would be obvious. some good stuff. Okay, listen. What is your top three?
Out of this list? I would say it's Kaguya-sama Love is War, Ping Pong the Animation, and Given.
I was afraid you'd say that. Mine is Dr. Stone, Ping Pong, and Kamen Rider Build. Based on that, I think we should do whatever we do to Ping Pong to say that this is going to make the top. We both think it's top three material. I think it belongs in our top three, right?
Totally. And
so now let's fight for the other two spots.
Let's see, we have four. Okay, so we have to cut two here.
I'll note that you didn't pick Promare.
Yeah, I like that movie quite a bit. All of the Leo and Gallo fan art is going to feed me for forever. It's a stylish movie. It's one that I'm eager to rewatch as soon as possible. It has so much style to it, and it's so clever with that style. Like, there's a moment where you're seeing a character do their super complicated intro, and then it pans out, and you're seeing that someone is, that one of the firefighters is watching that from their screen, complete with the title text and everything like that. And it's full of little moments like that, and it's a real treat to watch. But also, I totally recognize that it is very empty and vapid in terms of its plot.
It's just an infuriatingly style over substance. The style is so good that it makes me all the more angry how little they cared about the writing. And I don't know. It just... It's so gorgeous. It's... I mean, it is... I said it on the episode. Like, I think everyone should watch this. I don't necessarily think you'll walk away liking it. I didn't walk away liking it, but I walked away still kind of blown away just by the production, in effect. But are we going to cut it then?
I think so, yeah. Also, in terms of a slightly pettier reason, it's the way that they've handled that release is completely bullshit. Like... Holding it back so they can get an extra limited run, like a month or two ago, while adding in a few extra shorts and things like that. If this is how G Kids is going to handle, they've been buying up a whole lot of licenses, and if this is how they're going to handle a lot of their theatrical runs of things, I'm not looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. So I liked Kaguya-sama. It wouldn't be in my top three personally. We both liked Dr. Stone. But, I mean, you know my real horse here.
Indeed. Kamen Rider Build is... It's not really a show that I had ever... Keeps going, huh? Oh, it's still going, okay.
That was additional pull of the trigger, because, you know, obviously that was, initially it was you turn it on, it says Trans Steam Gun, then you know, shake your vial, obviously, you get the little click-click, you pop it in, and it does the bat, and then it starts the music, and then you pull the trigger to transform, and then once transformed, you pull the trigger again, of course, for a steam break. Naturally.
Of course.
But if you just pull the trigger without a violin, it just makes a blaster sound.
Ah.
It's a flexible toy.
Anyway, I wasn't really sure what to expect when I watched Kamen Rider Build. I'd seen people post footage of things like there's a bit later on in the season where they're having a fight through this building and they use a camera that's built that's basically connected to a drone to great effect, like moving it in and out of the building. But ultimately, it's a live-action cartoon, and it's a very good live-action cartoon. Like, they do various things to exaggerate, like, the main character's hair will stick up on end when he has an idea or he's excited about science. Every character who has Kamen Rider-style abilities has transformation sequences that last like 30 seconds to a minute, each with their own sort of catchphrase that comes out of their devices that also are very toy-like because it also makes it easy to sell them as toys. But also, with even all of that, it's telling an interesting story about isolationist countries and the way that kind of force can pull us apart.
And okay, so shortly before we recorded, I finished watching episode 36, and like, this show just keeps going, y'all. And not like, I don't mean that like the way like the fucking, you know, the Frieza arc just keeps going. I mean like, shit just keeps popping. I mean, I can't spoil things for you, but at this point, there are, like, five Kamen Riders. A villain has defected to become a good guy, and a good guy has become a villain. And we've gone through a whole lot of transformations, and there's been a reveal that it turns out that some people are actually also former members of royalty from Mars. Shit just goes.
I have a pretty good idea of who the Mars royalty is, but I'll wait to surprise myself, I guess.
I like that you think it's only one person.
I think it's at least two people, but...
We'll talk off air. It's... I am having a great time with this show, and it is my gateway to Kamen Rider. I'm downloading other Kamen Rider shows now. It has opened tokusatsu up to me, like a whole genre that I literally had ignored. I mean, forget genre, basically a whole like category of like of filmmaking, basically. And I don't know. I feel like I can't give it enough credit for that. I feel like I would feel really bad if it didn't make our top three.
It definitely seems like it has a place in the top three for sure. And it's something I want to watch more of whenever I have the opportunity to do so. Because every time I end up going into it, it's like, oh, this is a pretty good time. Though I'm not to the same degree as Six is, who was searching for how much a Kamen Rider costume would cost around Halloween time before realizing, oh, this is very expensive.
And then I was weighing, like, you know, I bet if I cashed in all the goodwill I've ever had, I could make a GoFundMe. And, like, no one would ever talk to me again, but I'd have a Bloodstock outfit, and that'd be pretty cool.
Indeed.
There was a minute there. but here I am. I chose the path of light. I was tempted, but I resisted. Given was really important to you, though, right?
Yeah, Given is such a nice breath of fresh air because it's like a angsty romance story, but it's incredibly open and frank about its discussions of being about same-sex romance. Like, it's based on a boys' love manga, and it's makes no bones about being that exact thing. I did see some pretty good criticism about it recently, about how it's an easy one for people to like because it's uncomplicated with the way that it portrays its queer relationships, just in terms of, oh, we're going to talk directly at you for like a minute or two, being like, oh yeah, this stuff is all cool, and this is a... It's basically something that's very easy to like because it makes the actual dynamics of the relationship entirely uncomplicated, except for the part where the two of them clash with one another. But it's basically something that got a lot of good points for... I don't know the right way to put this. It got a lot of good points for doing the thing and explicitly saying the thing, but it also seems like a situation where it almost feels like it's unfair that it stands out that much because of it, because it just goes to show how weak everything around it tends to be when it comes to...
Yeah, it's getting a lot of kudos for representation, and what it does is, at least, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What I will say is I don't feel what it does should be that remarkable. It's just that anime is so bad about this.
Totally. And unlike something like Fruits Basket, it does have an arc with the characters. Like, the whole thing with Mafuyu especially is that he's getting over the fact that his lover ended up committing suicide. And the giant culmination of that first season is him putting his feelings into words at the drop of a hat during a concert where no one else expected him to do it, and just howling his feelings into the mic in a really engaging, beautiful way. And that leads to the two protagonists of the show basically getting together and sort of working through what it means to be in a relationship and also in a band, which, if anyone... As the show makes clear, and you might also notice if you've paid attention to certain rock bands, is an incredibly fraught thing to introduce to both a band and a relationship, but it's one of those things that's like, okay, I'm going to root for them and I hope this works. And also, they're just really cute together. There's a lot of great moments where it's just one or the other one. I mean, it's mostly, oh, I'm blanking on his name, which is bad because this is one of my favorite shows.
The one of the two characters who matter in the show. Yeah.
But yeah, the more serious one, just blushing over the fact that I was realizing, oh shit, I'm so gay for this guy, is very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because, like, just on the back of how much it meant to you, I would be super fine with it making our list, right? And I'm not here to say, like, but I kind of am here to say but, because I thought Kaguya-sama and Dr. Stone were both shows that we both enjoyed. Maybe Kaguya-sama more is the vibe I get, and that's I'm here for that. I don't know, it just feels weird to have a list, and maybe this ends with Kamen Rider coming off. I really hope not. But it really feels weird to have a list like, here's the one show both of us liked, and then here are each of our favorites that the other didn't really care for.
That's a good point. I will say, it comes down to the fact that I think I did enjoy Kaguya-sama a little bit more, but also Kaguya-sama has lower lows than almost anything else on the show. Like, it's one of those, it's one of those comedy shows where they can't help themselves and they end up falling into transphobia at least once. And then aside from that, there's at least one or two other bits within episodes that's like, hey, this kind of sucks. But,
yeah, that's a good point. And if we were to, like, if it were one of the reasons it weren't to make our list was because of those moments, that seems totally fair to me.
Yeah. I feel like Given is the easier choice, but also it's a show that it means a lot to me, but also I did, if I'm being honest, have more fun with Kaguya-sama.
And Dr. Stone just didn't mean that much to you, you think?
Dr. Stone, I might need to watch more of. It did seem interesting, but also I feel like where we stopped watching it was right before it got into the actual action. So
yeah, I finished the season, so.
Does it get more action-packed than what we saw, or at least find more of a direction, I'd say?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it definitely becomes more, it becomes very goal-oriented, and I think the direction of the show makes a lot of, from where it goes from there, makes a lot of sense. It establishes a consistent cast of interesting characters and has them bouncing off Senku and the concept of the show in enjoyable ways.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I definitely want to watch more of it sometime. It's just one of those things where, like a lot of this list, I'm looking at it, I'm just reflecting on how the way I've been watching stuff, I feel like I need to tighten up a little bit and actually finish things beyond the occasional one or two shows that push me enough to actually finish them. But I'm making progress towards it by going through Dragon Ball, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to, I mean, like, part of these awards is always going to be that we're talking about stuff that the other person necessarily hadn't had the same experience or an experience at all with, right? But I really, especially in this category where our number of nominees is, like, almost all things that we've both experienced, I really want to aim for stuff where we have more of, like, I don't know, where we feel more united.
Okay, In that regard, I feel like three here might be Ping Pong, Kaguya-sama, and Kamen Rider Build.
I mean, if you are comfortable with that, I like that list. I don't want to, like, it is, you know, I like, just because that's the direction I want to go doesn't mean I want to override how much Given meant to you. It seemed like Given was kind of your show of the year, right?
Yeah, I've been slightly talking it down a little bit on this episode, but it was definitely one of my favorite shows that I watched this year, and it was definitely either first or second in terms of my favorite show that came out that year. But yeah, I also understand that it did absolutely nothing for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was for me, it was kind of a warm body of an anime, and I don't, you know, it feels mean to say that, but it's like, I don't know, I guess I gotta be honest, right?
This is the place to be honest, for sure.
Yeah.
I also feel kind of guilty because if we do go with the order I suggested, it feels like my preferences for these shows slightly override yours in terms of how many make it in the final three.
I think the two shows that we were both the most united on were Kaguya-sama and Ping Pong.
I agree with that, yeah.
I don't know, maybe you just had the right idea, because it's with only three slots, it becomes a hard thing, and I guess then we just need to bring it down to numbering, because at that point, I think it's Ping Pong 1, Kaguya 2, Common 3.
I think that's a pretty good list, yeah. I haven't said anything about Ping Pong at all, and I don't know how much I want to say, just because I think that the watching the way that it wraps up is rather beautiful, but speaking on it in vague terms, it's the show that basically made me realize, like, Devilman Crybaby was an amazing show in 2018. I loved it a whole lot. Watching the Tatami Galaxy, also very entertaining. And it definitely gave me an idea that this is Ayin Masaki Yuasa as a director that has things he wants to say and finds excellent series to say it through and has a really unique sense of style. Ping Pong is such an emotionally cathartic show that it kind of blew everything else out of the water for me. It's a show that, watching from beginning to end, it has this beautiful arc to it where I wouldn't say it's one of those things where it's not the ending that any of the characters expected would happen, or even the audience probably thought was going to or wanted to happen when it comes, but when everything just lines up, you're kind of stuck in the same awe that all the other characters are around this action that's happening. And it's this beautiful love letter to competition, to partnerships, to friendship, and it's about having someone you truly like take the next step and watching as their dreams come true, and you realize that them achieving your dreams, that was your dream as well. And not in the kind of Chihiro Furu way where it's seen as a lesser sort of dream. It's more like, this is someone I truly care about, and I am so happy and privileged to be here to see them truly fly.
It's a situation where, like, looking at this list, looking at all the shows on this list, I think there are shows on here that are good. I think there are shows on here that are great. I think there are shows on here that are smart. I think there are shows on here that are fun. Ping Pong is the only one of these shows that I would say is brilliant.
Yeah, I think out of all of them, it is the most well-rounded, and it nails pretty much everything it sets out to do, and it does so with such precision that it is astounding to watch.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal show. And I, like, I didn't watch Devilman Crybaby because everything I saw about it put me off so hard. And then we watched Tatami Galaxy, and I was like, I can see the craft in this. I don't like this. And I was like, man, this Yuasa guy, what a talented guy who makes things I don't like. And then I watched Ping Pong, and I was like, Jesus. I was just completely floored.
I'm really happy to hear that, because, yeah, I'm just amazed by how well it captures that sense of just youthful ambition, and while also showing how people kind of drift through life and don't have a clean A to B trajectory to through anything.
And I guess the nicest thing I could say about Yuasa is, despite how I felt about Tatami and Devilman Crybaby, one, I'm going to give Devilman Crybaby a shot now, despite it being so off-putting to me, just seeing what they had. And then the other thing is, if I hear Yuasa is involved with a project, I'm going to watch that project.
Mm-hmm. And it's already paid off in spades at the beginning of this 2020, because both of us are pretty floored with Keep Your Hands Off Isekin.
It's so good. It's such a good show. Yuasa knows what he's doing. Yeah, I think this is part of, like, okay, I'm going to be honest here. I decided we should do it ordered, partially just to be different than Giant Bomb. But, like, now that we're here in this category, the ordering feels so good. This is what this category needs, is for us to be able to say, hey, these are the top three, but only because it's ordered 1, 2, 3. Only because Ping Pong is top and Kaguya-sama is second. If it was Kamen Rider and Kaguya were equal, that wouldn't feel right, because that's not how we feel.
I agree.
So, with that, I guess that's our top three. Is it anime of the year? Yes, it is. It's Ping Pong the Animation. Number two, Kaguya-sama Love is War. Number three, Kamen Rider Build. I look forward to watching more Kamen Rider, and also fucking finishing Ping Pong, because I should have. And also, hey, apparently they're doing another season of Kaguya, which is amazing and great.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that show much during this episode, but it's a, in a year when I felt pretty distant from any sort of cishet romantic sort of stuff, the fact that it's just these two, the way that it starts with just these two blockheads not able to properly confess to one another, and it slowly uses that as impetus to get you wrapped into them as people, and also to the point where you start rooting for them to succeed, is pretty masterful.
Yeah, it's a romance show which never hooks me, and it's a cis romance which never hooks Jen, and it's fantastic. So
yeah. It's managed to break through the disadvantages it has in its categories, at least for us, and that is worth shouting out.
Listen, you're allowed to. You don't need to waffle. Being straight is a disadvantage. We all understand. All right. Well, thank you so much for everyone for joining us. We're here with another gimmick award. We'll have more categories for you throughout this week. I have absolutely no idea what order these are going up in, so have fun with that. But they're all, you know, standalone, so it should be pretty easy to follow along no matter what. It's time for our designated promotion area, the DPA.
Indeed. I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on patreon.com/scanlinemedia or scanlinemedia.com. Usually I have those two flipped. Don't know why I did it in this order this time, but I'm rolling with it. And we are relaunching Novel Not New, a True End podcast soon. And as soon as those episodes go up, you'll be able to hear them on readinggames.online, along with all of our previous episodes. So
yeah, I think it'll be up by the time... peek behind the curtain, we're recording this the week of the 19th. I think these are going up the following week, and so I think Novel Not New will be up by then.
I think so too, yeah.
But anything can happen in this crazy world of ours. So remember, this is a game for kid... Wait, wrong show.
You should plug yourself too.
Oh, right. I guess I get to do that. God, I'm bad lately, huh? I used to be, like, good at this podcasting thing, and then you know what happened? Is I got this fucking Transteam gun, and ever since, I've just been possessed by some kind of, like, evil ghost from Mars or something. Who only knows what that means? Well, I'm SixDetmar. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. I have, all the same stuff as Jen. I want to shout out, though, since there is a possibility you're coming here just for GOTY content. We have great shows, like we have our crossover with Abnormal Mapping, which is Romance of the Two Networks, where we're reading Romance of the Three Kingdoms, 3 chapters a week, and we do summaries, so you don't have to read, you can just follow along and hear all the good conversation about a really fucking good book. Turns out it's one of the best novels of all time for a reason. We have Oopsal Anime, our premiere show, from which most of the anime that we watched here, we watch for Oopsal Anime. It's our patron show, $1 a month. We have Neutral Game for fighting games. We have Ultimate Despair Reprise, should be starting up again this year. There's so much good stuff. Go and check it out. Enjoy your massage from Microforum. Thank you so much, everyone, and peace out.
Have a good one.